Our next speaker is Beverly Hagar, and I haven't met her before today, but I'm very grateful that she came up from Seattle to give this talk. I heard about the Virginia Mason experience vaguely prior to last October, but I heard specific details of it presented at the Infectious Disease Society of America conference last October in Washington, and their experience has really been remarkable in terms of implementation of a mandatory influenza vaccine program for healthcare workers and the results that they've been able to achieve with that. I know that this is a very controversial area as well, but I think it's important for us to know what others are doing and how they've achieved those results and what those results have been. Bev is the supervisor for Virginia Mason's Medical Center Employee Health Department. She's been a registered nurse since 1978. And she's been involved in employee and occupational health for 13 years. She's the current president of the Puget Sound chapter of the Association for Occupational Health Professionals. And she's presented on this experience of implementing a mandatory program at a number of state and also national venues in the United States. And I think this is her first time in Canada speaking about the issue. So we're very proud to have her here.
Thank you, Monica. And thank you all for inviting me to be here today. Talk about your controversial subjects. You've heard some of the controversy already today, and certainly when it comes to implementing a mandatory vaccination program for healthcare workers, we've had our share of controversy. So I'm pleased to be able to come here today and tell you about how we implemented our program and where we are today with the program, and basically to get into the nuts and bolts of the actual implementation piece, not so much to go into the background and all of that, but to basically tell you how we actually did implement the program. So, who are we? Virginia Mason is a main hospital and clinic in downtown Seattle. We have 7 satellite clinics in the Western Washington region that are spread out across the water and throughout the vicinity. We're a multi-specialty group practice of about 480 physicians, and we have about 5,000 FTEs that we serve. We have about 1 million outpatient visits per year and about 16,000 inpatient admissions per year. And we're licensed currently as a 336-bed tertiary care hospital, but we are also undergoing some new renovation and building a new addition to our hospital, so that will change in the future. This is our strategic plan for the organization, and you can see that the patient is at the top of our strategic plan. Our vision, of course, is to be the quality leader and to transform healthcare. And our mission is to improve the health and safety of the patients that we serve. And it's with that vision and mission in mind that we took on this program. In 2002, our organization adopted the Toyota Production System method of management. System philosophies, and we began to take those practices and apply them to healthcare. With that, you put the customer first, you look for the highest quality outcomes, there's an obsession with safety and high staff satisfaction, and of course, the bottom line is that you want to have a successful economic enterprise. One of the tools of the Toyota Production System is the Rapid Process Improvement Workshop, or the RPIW. And in the RPIW process, you take a group of staff and you take them offline for a full work week. And they take a process and they re-engineer it, and they hope that the ultimate outcome is a patient-centered process that has waits and wastes eliminated. So in the summer of 2004, we ran 3 simultaneous RPIW workshops that were looking at the ways to improve our delivery of flu shots to our patients and to our staff. And these groups, after reviewing the literature, felt that 2 things were pretty clear. One, that immunizing healthcare workers could result in a safer environment for patients, and that voluntary programs to increase effectiveness or to immunize healthcare workers up to that point had by and large been ineffective. So as a result of the workshops and reviewing the data, Virginia Mason just didn't feel that our 30 to 50% rate of healthcare worker immunization was good enough. And so we developed the mandatory influenza immunization policy for our staff, And that policy was approved by the Management Committee and the Board in August of 2004. And I should note that they expected it to be implemented for that season's flu vaccination program. So it was a very short time period that we were working with. It is a comprehensive fitness for duty policy. It includes all of our employed staff, our physicians, community providers, contingent laborers, vendors, volunteers, and students. And there was a lot of discussion about who we should include in our program from the onset. The talk was, you know, should we just do direct caregivers? Should we do, people in close proximity to the patients? And ultimately, it was decided that we would just include everybody. And we did really cast a very wide net, and I think that we're pretty unique in that position. We have basically taken the stance that we're going to vaccinate everybody that is taking care of people or working in our facility during the influenza season. So we give about 1,000 additional vaccinations every year through our employee health service for some of these other additional groups. Our fitness for duty policy says that the staff can request an accommodation based on medical or religious grounds. So we don't do declinations, we only have accommodations, and that is a written process. These written requests for accommodation are evaluated on a case-by-case basis, and it's decided whether or not they will be accepted. So people may put in for an accommodation and not have that accepted, and then they would still need to get a vaccination. So if the accommodation is approved, that staff member needs to wear a mask for the duration of the flu season. So that means that from the date that we say you need to get vaccinated, you would have to start wearing your mask, and then you don't stop wearing your mask until our infectious disease doctor says that the influenza season is over. And I can tell you that this year the influenza season was deemed over on June 10th, and that was, you know, of course, just the seasonal influenza. So I think that's a unique position that we have in asking our staff to be masked. And you can see this is our alternative to vaccination. And we don't have a lot of people that are masking. You know, it seems like you would walk into the organization and think that you'd see, you know, a ton of people that are wearing masks. But the reality is not that. And I'll go through some of those numbers in a minute. So in 2004, we started our educational campaign, and we invited Greg Poland from the Mayo Clinic to come and talk to our physicians and staff and kick off the campaign. We also had an ethicist come to speak to our staff. We developed an online learning module and an influenza website. However, everybody remembers what happened in 2004 with the vaccine shortage, and so we barely had enough to administer to our high-risk work groups, and so we had to put our policy on hold until the following year, but it enabled us to refocus and work on our respiratory etiquette campaign and do additional influenza education and get more input from our staff and managers about what they would want to see in the program. This is our respiratory kiosk that the influenza team developed during that 2004 year. So this is basically a station that is placed at the entrance to all of our facilities. And it has masks and hand gel and cover your cough information. So we partnered with our call centers so that anybody that's calling in and requesting an appointment for an influenza-like illness or a cough, they are instructed by the call center staff to put on a mask as soon as they walk through the facility. So that has really helped to decrease the amount of exposures that we have, not only for influenza-like illnesses, but also for things like pertussis and other infectious diseases. So everyone wants to do the right thing. Why can't we just make it fun and voluntary? And we've heard a lot of people talk about what the rates are currently for healthcare workers. And we know that it's been a CDC recommendation since the early 80s. And still, our healthcare worker immunization rates are very low, hovering around the 38 to 42% compliance rate. The reasons that healthcare workers give for not getting the vaccine are basically the same as what consumers give for not getting the vaccine. So we need to address their issues and concerns and talk about that as you think about a campaign like this. Do we have a moral responsibility to get vaccinated? This is an actual article that was put out, I think, in 2005 in Nurse Week regarding our Virginia Mason program. And you can see in the last part, I don't know where my laser is, but it talks about whether or not we have a moral obligation to get vaccinated. And the one statement there says that it's reasonable to assert that clinical nurses have the moral responsibility to receive the flu vaccine as a way to prevent or minimize harm to patients.